From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, July 24th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis County neighbors are pushing back against a proposal to fill a nearby quarry with construction waste.
There's no environmental impact study. There's no serious stormwater management. We don't know anything about the groundwater at the time.
What we do know about the plan with STLPR's Kate Grumke, plus a lethal fungus making its way to Missouri, could put a federally endangered plant at further risk.
It's knocking on our door.
Our Anison Krebs car will teach us more about that endangered plant and the fungus that threatens it. These stories coming up after this news on The Gateway. A man accused of seriously injuring a Ferguson police officer during a protest commemorating the 10th anniversary of Michael Brown's death pleaded guilty yesterday morning. As STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley reports, proceedings wrapped up on the second day of Elijah Gant's trial. Sentencing is set for November.
30-year-old Elijah Gant pleaded guilty to second-degree assault and resisting arrest, both felonies. He's accused of running full speed into Ferguson police officer Travis Brown during a protest in August 2024, causing Brown to fall down and hit his head on the pavement. Brown suffered a traumatic brain injury and is still recovering 2 years later. Ryan Krupp is Gant's attorney.
He wanted to have the opportunity to take responsibility for his actions in a way that can start the process of healing for the family. Elijah is a very kind and caring person, and that's something that gets overshadowed.
Ferguson Police Chief Troy Doyle says although Gant took responsibility for his actions, it doesn't give Officer Brown his career back. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Senator Josh Hawley is pressing his colleagues to fund a program that could help St. Louis recover from last year's deadly tornado. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer is seeking between $1 and $1.5 billion for Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Funds, which could help rebuild housing in the area of the city affected by the tornado. Hawley says Congress needs to act so St. Louis can get that money.
It's not as if Missouri is just sitting on its hands and, oh, we could be applying for money and we're not doing it. No. The governor, the mayor, they have applied for and gotten everything that is currently available. Congress needs to authorize further relief.
Missouri's other Republican Senator Eric Schmidt and Democratic Congressman Wesley Bell have also been supportive of efforts to obtain disaster funds. Following a federal investigation, the special school district in St. Louis County will no longer use certain practices that isolate or restrain students, STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports.
The U.S. Department of Justice said earlier this year the district was in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act after it found staff overused the practices across district schools. Teachers and staff are only supposed to use these practices as a last resort to prevent students from harming themselves or others. The DOJ investigation found staff at one North County school used the supine restraint nearly 400 times in 2 years. It also found that students had harmed themselves while they were separated from their peers for long periods of time. In a notice sent to staff, the district said the practices would be discontinued beginning this fall across all of its schools and partner districts in the county. The district supports over 20,000 students in the region who live with disabilities. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
What you see on your August primary ballot could depend on where you live. We're talking about those issues. One of them is Proposition 1. Hazelwood residents will get a new fire station if Proposition 1 is passed next month. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, that new station would provide more space for storage and firefighter training.
The city has two firehouses, and Proposition 1 would use up to $14 million in general obligation bonds to replace one of the stations. Fire Station 1 was built in the mid-1960s. It's less than half an acre and has limited space for storage, equipment, and emergency services. If passed, there would be an increase in personal property and property taxes. How much depends on the home's value. For example, a house assessed at $160,000 would lead to a $49 a year increase. Dan Luley is the city's fire chief. He says the current station isn't well equipped for modern emergency services.
This isn't really driven by a firefighter desire to have a better house. It is driven by a desire to provide a better service.
The issue will be on the August 4th ballot. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Check out more of the issues that'll be on the August 4th ballot at STLPR.org. Electric companies in the Midwest say new large-scale power lines are needed to get more energy into the grid to serve big customers like AI data centers. The companies argue reducing competition is the fastest way to do it. A group of utilities, including Ameren, is asking federal energy regulators to exempt power line projects from the competitive bidding process, or at least put it on hold for 5 years. Davis Strobridge is director of regulatory strategy for ITC. That's one of the largest transmission companies in the country. He says it can take 16 to 20 months to select a company to build a large-scale power line.
We need rules and regulations that do things quickly and don't have red tape involved. And removing this solicitation requirement would absolutely do that.
But some opposed say reducing competition on infrastructure projects would ultimately raise the costs for utility customers. St. Louis County Democratic State Senator Tracy McCreary and some other Missouri lawmakers are urging federal energy regulators to deny the request.
Without competition, there would be no motivation for these investor-owned utilities to do things in an economical manner.
State lawmakers from Iowa, Montana, Wisconsin, and Kansas have also sent letters to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission urging the agency to deny the company's request. Missouri business owners hit by extensive flash flooding, now that the waters have receded, are asking tourists to come visit. STLPR's Sarah Fenton reports the flood-affected areas are known for their summer season tourism.
Between July 9th and 10th, buckets of heavy rain fell in a short period of time, causing catastrophic flooding. The National Weather Service issued a flash flood emergency in Iron and Reynolds counties, both hubs of outdoor tourism. 2 weeks later, the Black River is back to its pre-flood level, and businesses say they need visitors to help communities recover. Melody Gardner is a board member of the Lesterville, Missouri Chamber of Commerce.
People are canceling right and left. You know, they're canceling all the way into August. And this is what our community is built around, is tourism.
Gardner says things may not look exactly the same as they did before the flood, but many campgrounds and outfitters have reopened. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A proposal to fill a quarry in South St. Louis County has some neighbors pushing back. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports they're worried the project could bring flooding, traffic, and other issues to their community.
Next to an inactive 30-acre quarry site in Lime, Brianna Coleman flips through site plans on the hood of her car. She lives nearby. The pages show a proposal to turn this water-filled quarry into a site where utilities and contractors can dump material called clean fill. That's things like sand, gravel, and brick. But there's a lot about the project that Coleman is worried about. For one, where will all this extra water go?
The water concern, there's no environmental impact study, there's no serious stormwater management. We don't know anything about the groundwater at the time.
Her biggest issue is how little her neighbors seem to know. The quarry is surrounded by homes, condos, and cemeteries.
Many of the people I'm talking to are hearing it for the first time from me.
So Coleman has been passing out yard signs and trying to spread the word. The company behind the project, Philworks LLC, is asking the St. Louis County Planning Commission for a conditional use permit. At a public hearing last week, about a dozen people spoke out against the project. Dan Kozatek with Civil and Environmental Consultants spoke for the company. He says there's an industry need for a place to dump clean fill. And he says it's better than leaving the quarry to sit empty.
We think this is a beneficial reuse for the site that will solve a potential safety problem and allow the industry to use the site.
The County Planning Department is accepting written feedback on the proposal now. The earliest the department's staff would present it to the Planning Commission would be September 14th. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. A federally endangered plant in Missouri is facing a new threat. As St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, a lethal fungus is making its way to the state, and it could put the pondberry shrub at further risk.
Over 20 years ago, laurel wilt disease was found in Georgia. Since then, it has crept into some of Missouri's bordering states. Susan Farrington is a natural history biologist for the Missouri Department of Conservation. She says a non-native beetle carries the fungus, and it's only a matter of time before it gets to Missouri. When it does, she says it could ruin the ecosystem, especially the laurel family.
It's knocking on our door. It's over in Tennessee and even up as far north as Little Rock, Arkansas. So it's very close to us, but has not yet reached us.
The laurel family includes the spice bush, sassafras, and one shrub that's particularly at risk, the endangered pondberry. The pondberry struggles in the wild because of the way it reproduces and the loss of its wetland habitats. Farrington said the shrub could play a role in the environment that we don't even know, and the loss could be devastating.
We don't know all the importance of every single plant and every single organism in our environment, but it's important to try to preserve all the pieces and not let them disappear because we don't understand how everything interacts.
MDC's forest entomologist Robbie Deerhoff said that right now there isn't a way to lessen the damage caused by laurel wilt.
What research has been done does not give us hope that there's any way we can mitigate it on the forest level. And we haven't heard anything if there's any kind of resistance out there.
Deerhoff says she can receive an email anytime from someone who finds the disease in Missouri. She says that one way to prevent the spread of laurel wilt is not to move firewood across state lines. She says this lessens the risk of transferring insects and diseases. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway, and have a great weekend.